time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bible, you'll want to turn to John chapter 9. And we're going to continue our study about the time that Jesus healed a man that was born blind. And we'll be looking at the explanatory notes that E.A. Elam wrote on this passage for the Sunday schools of December the 7th, 1924. Now, before we get into our lesson, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes. And he begins with a discussion of the truth that is revealed in the scriptures, that faith without works is dead. Jesus thus spoke as above to emphasize the fact that he was about to do was the work of God, and that God should have the glory. He then anointed the blind man's eyes with an ointment of clay and spittle. These have no virtue in themselves, especially to cure one born blind. Jesus used them as a test of this man's faith, and to show that whatever means God's ordained must be used in order to be blessed, whether man sees any virtue in them or not, that is what we are to do. Others whom Jesus healed manifested their faith in some way, by going to him and requesting help, for instance. He volunteered to heal this man, but the man must manifest his faith. In faith, man obeys, and God blesses. We read in John chapter 9 in verse 7 where Jesus said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went away therefore and washed and came seeing. He went to the pool and came from the pool seeing from the moment that he washed. We read in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 5 verses 8 through 14 about Naaman, who dipped 7 times in the Jordan and was healed of leprosy. We read about the Israelites bitten by serpents in Numbers 21, 7 through 9, and how they were to look upon the brazen serpent and be healed. Nowhere in the Bible can it be found that God blesses a man through faith before that faith is expressed in action. Faith without works, our action is dead. In the book of James, chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 and going down through verse 26, we read, "What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but hath not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled which saith, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And in like manner, Was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. We read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." Jesus now says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. And again, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. This faith does as the blind man went and washed and then came seeing. And God forgives and saves in this obedience, just as he opened the blind eyes, and a blind man ought to be able to see that. He seemeth to be a well-known beggar. Verses 8 and 9 state, "For he sat and begged at the public place, and his neighbors all knew him. But they could scarcely believe that he was the same man, since his eyes had been opened. Hence they raised the question, 'Is this not he that sat and begged?' Some said, 'It is he.' Others said, 'Well, he is like him.' He said, 'I am he.'" His statement settled the question. And then we read how that the blind man that now had received sight was cast out of the synagogue. At the blind man's statement to his neighbors, they were astounded and asked in verses 11 and 12, "How then were thine eyes opened?" He explained the details of the occurrence and said, "The man that is called Jesus did this." In John chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, we read, "They bring to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now it was the Sabbath on that day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight, and he said unto them, 'He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I see.'" So he was taken to the Pharisees for further investigation. They carried him through a preliminary trial and asked him, as his neighbors had done, how he received sight. Again, he stated the facts clearly. And then in verses 16 and 17 of John 9, we read, "Some therefore of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath.' But others said, 'How can a man that is a sinner do such things?' And there was division among them." Not able to dispute the fact, these Pharisees accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. This trial resulted in a division among the Pharisees themselves. In this divided condition, they asked the man his opinion of Jesus, and he answered, "He is a prophet." After this preliminary trial, the blind man, whose eyes were now open, was taken before the official power in Jerusalem. In verse 18, the Jews, as in other places, represent the rulers. These Jews examined this man and cross-examined him and were unable to meet his arguments. They refused to believe that he was born blind and that he had received sight until, as verse 19 states, they had called his parents and asked them concerning him. As verses John 9:20-21 say, "His parents acknowledged that this man was their son and that he was born blind, but being ungrateful cowards, they declined to state how his eyes had been opened, and threw all responsibility upon him, saying, 'Ask him, he is of age, he'll speak for himself.' They said this," as verse 22 declares, "because they feared the Jews." That is, they feared these rulers. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man should confess Jesus to be the Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. There was nothing involved, no danger, in these parents owning this man as their son and stating the fact that he was born blind. Had there been, they would have denied these facts also, probably. They lacked courage and gratitude to Jesus and common respect for their brave and noble son. Some brethren are now very bold when there is no danger in making a show of courage, but they straddle and dodge and cringe when to speak out clearly and boldly involves loss of popularity or money or personal comfort or might bring persecution. For instance, for Christians to engage in carnal warfare, bloodshed, devastation, and ruin, well, they need to do this only as authorized by God, who has authorized government, but not to take it on themselves to create such violence. It's interesting to read that the son of these cowardly parents was not afraid. He was a beggar and had been blind, but he was true, courageous, and declared the truth in the face of danger involving persecution when called before the rulers again and asked the second time concerning the fact of how he had received sight, being told to give God the glory and that Jesus was a sinner. He openly answered again that Jesus had opened his eyes. Call him a sinner or not, he knew how his eyes had been opened. If his parents had declared they did not, let the authorities say what they choose about Jesus. He knew Jesus had opened his eyes and that he was a prophet of God. Now in John chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, we read, they said therefore unto him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I told you even now, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Should ye also become his disciples? Well, the authorities ask again how Jesus opened the man's eyes and what he did, and that's how the man responded. I told you, even now, as we would say, I've just told you all the facts, and ye did not hear, or rather, you wouldn't believe me. Wherefore would you hear again? This means they would not believe it, should he tell them again. And in sarcasm, it seems, he asked, would you become one of his disciples? In verses 28 and 29, we see they reviled him for this question. Why, they felt the force of it and said, we are Moses' disciples. We know that God hath spoken through Moses, but as for this man, we know not whence he is. And then in John 9:30, this man replied, why, herein is a marvelous thing. This is a wonderful statement you make, that you know not whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. You are great teachers, unerring guides to the blind, yet cannot tell whence a man who has performed so great a miracle is opening the eyes of one born blind. If you cannot tell this, how can you tell the difference between the false and the true prophets? This man could tell, as could Nicodemus. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God, for no man can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him. John chapter 3 and verse 2. And so in John 9:31, we see this man grew stronger as he proceeded. God had heard Jesus and had opened his eyes, and he knew for this reason Jesus was a prophet and no sinner. His reason was, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. We're going to put a mark right there in our Sunday school book and return to this in our next class. Make sure if you have a time and our normal worship periods to come by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff and see how we study the Bible together there. And you may want to become one with us.